Hello, I'm Amanda Ray Marino, Public Affairs Officer for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers Logistics Activity Center in Millington, Tennessee.
And I'm Warner Buckman, a biologist for the Army Corps of Engineers, and where I was with the Jacksonville District and all my amazing opportunities down there, I've actually taken a position with the Charleston District. One of the incredible things that you can do with the Army Corps of Engineers is actually move around the country, sometimes around the world, and I took an incredible job option that was up here in Charleston. And so now I get to work in a different region of the Southeast and still with the South Atlantic Division, as we call them. But anyway, just wanted to let all of our listeners know that it's something that not only we talk about in our wonderful episodes here, but it's also something that we experience ourselves as hosts for this podcast.
How exciting. Congratulations, yeah. Warner.
Thank you.
All right. Well, welcome to the Build Strong With Us podcast, where we give our listeners an opportunity to learn more about the diverse people, mission impact, and career opportunities our personnel experience within the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Today, we will meet Eric Daniels, who is a human resource recruiter working for the Talent Acquisition Center of Excellence, known as TACE, for the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Eric joined the Corps of Engineers after a successful career as a uniformed recruiter for the U.S. Army. Hi, Eric.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. So tell me, after serving in uniform as a recruiter, recruiting soldiers to the Army, how did you end up working for the Corps of Engineers, and what drew you to the Corps of Engineers specifically?
All right. So I retired from the active duty Army in 2016, and I actually started grad school, decided that I wasn't ready to stop working. And so I had an opportunity to join the Social Security Administration. I had a hiring manager approach me and offer me a position with the Social Security Administration. So I took a little detour from the Army for about 4 years. So I worked for Social Security for about 4 years doing retirement claims, disability claims, and Medicare claims. Missed the camaraderie of the Army, so I decided that I wanted to seek out the opportunities back with the Army, but on the civilian side. Applied for a position as a workforce manager in the Chicago district.
Awesome.
Was accepted into that position. Worked there for approximately 4 years as a workforce manager, where recruiting was a part of my job. Training management was a part. So the performance management program was a part of my position. And then managing the front office personnel, the executive office personnel in that organization. Did that for approximately 4 years. And then I had an opportunity to become a talent manager for the Mississippi Valley Division. Accepted that position for me. Did that for approximately 1 year. And then an opportunity opened up on the Talent Acquisition Center of Excellence team. And so I took another opportunity to join a new team.
That is such a fantastic broad set of experience, you know, going between all of those different positions. And that's one of the really cool things about the Corps is you have those opportunities, and good for you for taking those opportunities as they came up. So how long have you been in your current position?
I've been in my current position just under 8 months.
Well, congratulations coming up on your first year. So as you're looking at this journey and working with the talent acquisition mission, how do you feel like that really fits in with your own personal values and how that fits in with the overarching Corps of Engineers mission and that team?
A great question. So my last 15 years in active duty Army was spent in Army Recruiting Command, just basically out there making the Army an employer of choice for young people who may not have considered that. Most young folks, that initial, I'm graduating from high school, so I want to go to college, and just sitting out there and offering them an opportunity. Here is another option for you. And so when I joined the Corps and I started doing that recruitment job over there in Chicago, just a natural fit from my training in the Army. From being a part of Recruiting Command, just another opportunity to go out there and engage with young people and give them an opportunity to do something that they may not have considered in the past. And so it's a natural fit for me to lay that out for folks. And so I'm happy and encouraged to be in the position I'm in.
That's wonderful. Thank you for sharing about that.
So you mentioned this mentorship program. Are you a part of the mentorship program yourself?
It just so happens that I am a part of the mentorship program for East Ace.
That's excellent.
Interestingly enough, when I was in the Chicago district, they had a district mentorship program, and I participated in that program. And so I took the job with the Mississippi Valley Division, and initially new job, and so I wanted to take a pause on participating in those extracurricular activities. It just so happens that met some folks down in New Orleans that were working in the district down there, took the role with the Talent Acquisition Center of Excellence, and USACE started a enterprise mentorship program. And one of the employees that was in New Orleans reached out to me, and she indicated that the mentor that she was paired up with for the USACE mentorship program, she said that it wasn't a really good match for her. And so she just asked me, like, hey, if she reaches out to the organizers, would I, you know, agree to participate and be her mentor? Which I did. You know, that's kind of hard to turn down. Somebody reaches out to you and said, hey, would you mentor me? And it's like, no, I don't want to mentor you. But of course, I said, yes, I will absolutely be your mentor. And again, I was humbled, completely humbled by somebody reaching out to me and asking me that. And so I am I am participating in the USACE mentorship program. The program actually ended, but we've continued our relationship. And so that mentor-mentee relationship. And I'm happy to report that I've learned as much from her as I hope she's learned from me in the program.
Well, sort of spinning off of that, because we always have those pieces of advice that kind of stick with us. In your journey so far, mentee, mentor, learning, you know, receiving, what is the most useful piece of advice that you have received that really sticks with you?
So another great question. Someone told me two things. When I retired from the military, someone told me to humble myself. So you spend your time in the military and active duty, you rise up through the ranks, and then you transition. And your expectation is that you're going to get this great opportunity and get hired. And one of my peers told me, just humble yourself when you go out there. And all he meant was, you know, you're going into an organization, or potentially going into an organization, where folks have devoted 15, 20 years of their lives to that organization. So don't just expect to walk in and be given the same privileges as those folks. So that was really great advice. And then early in my career, I had a senior leader tell me to not be afraid of failing, and basically told me, if you're not failing, then you're not trying. And so you have to go out there, you have to fail, and more importantly, learn from that failure, and that's how you grow.
That's so true. Learning from your failures is how you move forward. So that kind of leads me into my next question. What experiences or skills do you think have been most important to your success, both within the Army and within the Corps of Engineers?
You know, it's the same value system, right? You know, the Army, active duty Army has their value system. And then you come over to the Corps. I was pleasantly surprised when I discovered that you take an oath of enlistment when you come over here, or oath of service when you join the Corps. Going back to the value system and understanding that in order to succeed, like the entire, it takes a team. And so you can't go out there and just depend on yourself and anything that you're doing, which was great for me. It was an easy transition for me in the military, because I came from playing sports, you know, my entire life, organized sports and being a part of a team. I've always thrived in an environment where you're dependent on someone else to go out there and execute their piece in order for the whole organization to succeed. So it was an easy transition to come into the Army, and then an easy transition to come into the Corps of Engineers. I mentioned before that, you know, when I went to work for the Social Security Administration, one of the things I missed was that camaraderie, that sense of a team. Not to say that the Social Security Administration doesn't have that. It's just different. When opportunity presented itself, I was excited to apply, and I was super happy when they accepted me. Coming back to the core, finding, you know, you engage in conversations with folks that work in this organization, and it's apparent that there are some super smart people that work in this organization, and the projects that they have to go out here and work on, and the impact of those projects on our communities, it just blows my mind when I'm engaging in these conversations. And so I'm always challenged. And when I find these folks out here and I'm pushing myself to be the best version of myself just to fit in on a day-to-day basis, you know, even as we were gearing up to do this, you know, I'm sure you guys interview really, really important, really, really smart folks. And so I'm humbled that you reached out to me and said, hey, would you do this? And I'm hoping that this episode lives up to that to that level of you guys going out here and engaging with some of these senior leaders and some of the things that they do and the projects that they work on. The piece that I'm always about my program and what we do, it always goes back to the people of the organization. So I'm going out here to engage folks and bring them into our organization. And at the end of the day, the people are the most important part of the organization. Listening to the new CG, and he was talking about his priorities, and he's talking about deliver, innovate, and you. And in that you piece, I see the people. And so I'm always encouraged by something like that. I'm encouraged when senior leaders understand the importance of the people. The people are the team, and the team is what accomplishes the mission.
That's a fantastic perspective. And it's just wonderful to hear how much passion you have for what you do. And that's one of the reasons why I think, you know, Amanda Ray really saw you as a fantastic person to highlight in one of these episodes, is because we can feel the passion that you have for what you do. And one of my favorite questions that I like to ask people, and I actually ask if I'm ever being interviewed, I like to ask this question to whoever might be my next boss, but, you know, what gets you up in the morning? What makes you want to get up in the morning and start your job here? You know, not on the weekends, but Monday through Friday of a normal week, what do you wake up in the morning and instead of going, oh my gosh, I have to go to my job, you are excited to, obviously. We can hear it in your voice, but what is it that makes you so excited?
Every Monday, you know, getting that Sunday going into that Monday, you know, I'm running through all the things that are going to happen on that Monday and that Tuesday and that Wednesday. And I'm like lining up the things that I have to do. And so the thing that gets me up is that sense of purpose. You know, I'm grateful and blessed. I'm in a position that I don't have to work. I work because I want to work. And I want to work because there is a purpose out there. And in this organization, that purpose is, you know, how do I go out here and engage with folks and ensure that they have the same opportunities that I've had? How do I present this organization as an employer of choice? How do I make this organization an employer of choice? It's the same challenge a recruiter. You know, folks are told their entire lives, go to college. And then you're saying, hey, you know, come over here and do this. And so even out here, you know, folks go to college, they get a degree, and now they're going to go out into the workforce. And it's like that next job is what they're looking for. And most folks, it's the private sector, and they don't even know we exist. And so I'm challenged to go out there and show them, hey, if you don't know, this is what the Corps of Engineers is. This is who we are. This is what we do. And you probably are involved in something that we do in some aspect. And so why don't you come and do it for us directly? And oh, by the way, that sense of purpose, you know, that sense of doing something that's bigger than just yourself. You know, you engage in these generations, these younger generations that are coming out here now, and every generation goes, like this next generation, they're gonna mess it up, and they don't know what they're doing, and their priorities are all messed up. when you engage with these young folks, they want to do something that is impactful. They want to be a part of an organization that is bigger than themselves. They look for that sense of purpose. And so it's easy for me when I talk to them and engage with them. Once we get past that whole, what is the Army Corps of Engineers? It's easy conversation.
Absolutely, Eric. And I can confirm, as a mother of 5 children, 3 of whom are teenagers, when I hear people talking about, the next generation, my teenagers are so excited to get out there and make an impact on their community, to really have a purpose. Providing the Corps of Engineers as an opportunity to young folks out there as they're graduating college or finishing up their graduate degree is really important. So that they understand that they have opportunities outside of the private sector. So thank you for your work doing that. My next question is kind of along those lines as well. When you think back over your career, both as a soldier and a civilian serving the nation, can you share a memorable story or a specific accomplishment that exemplifies the spirit of the U.S. Army?
Sure. That is a tough question. I'll share this. So it just so happens that I was assigned to New York Recruiting Battalion in a hurricane, came all the way up the coast and right there in New York City. And who could imagine that a hurricane is going to impact the city of New York, right? And so
crazy.
Right. And so recruiting operations obviously stop. But you're always looking for that opportunity to go out there and serve, provide a service to the communities that you serve. And it's always that grassroots. Folks think about soldiers and they walk up and they say, thank you for your service. To me, that is a personal thing. And it's at a grassroots level. And you go out and you participate in these campaigns that are overseas and impacting these other countries. But here is this event that is impacting our country, and probably the most well-known city in our country is impacted by this event, and then you go out and you get to participate in this and play your little part. And I specifically remember some recovery efforts, and so we're going and we're walking through neighborhoods, just the opportunity to go in there and help some of these folks with the smallest things, you know, helping folks move things out of their houses, helping folks get a generator started, helping a lady completely in shock, you know, come to that realization, like, I need you to come out of your house and stop cleaning because the entire back half of your house is gone. And their faces when they seen, here's a group of soldiers that are involved in recruiting command in your community that are coming in your community to help. And just seeing their faces when they seen us and kind of going, okay, somebody is still out there and it still cares about what's happening with us. You know, I spent 28 years in the active duty Army. I've been to several countries doing those type of things. That opportunity to participate with those folks on New York sticks out because it was right here in the United States.
Beautiful story. It really is. And really shows that commitment that, you know, the Army Corps of Engineers not only has to the people within as you work with the Talent Acquisition Center, but also to the citizens that we're serving. We are a, you know, citizen serving organization to be able to have that direct interaction and that direct impact on their lives so that you can be there for them. And they know that we're here. A little bit more about what USACE with Army Corps of Engineers actually is. And that touch point is pretty incredible. So you talk about these amazing stories and what you've experienced there and looking on those normal days, right? So outside of the big hurricane events and all of that amazing stuff that we do as Army Corps of Engineers, or as you did whenever you were enlisted, when you reel back to that Monday or that Wednesday, what makes that day itself feel like a success? So when you're done with your work day, how do you know that you've achieved the mission?
I am a very structured person. That structure came from being a part of a team early in life, being playing organized sports. You know, you're given assignments And if you fail your assignment, then the entire team, you know, suffers. Joining the Army, same thing. You know, you're given tasks. Here's your task. You know, here are the conditions. And you go out there and you train and you get better at completing your task. And then, you know, that's how you complete your mission. It's the same here. I brought that structure here with me. And so I can look at my position description for my job, and I can look at each one of those. I could take my elements from my performance management plan, and I can take all of that stuff and I can put it on a calendar on a day-to-day basis. And so I am super structured. In the Army, active duty Army, we call it battle rhythm. And so there's a rhythm to my day of tasks that I do. And I don't need anybody to tell me to do them. I've already set it up and I will go out there. I will complete those tasks.
That's awesome. And I feel like my military background as well has kind of made me the same way. You get used to the battle rhythm. You start off with, quarters or musters, depending on what branch you served in, first thing in the morning, and you put out the plan of the day and you go forward and you accomplish that. Knowing that you accomplished the little missions, I think sometimes is just as rewarding as those big missions like hurricane recovery or a big hiring event. So I definitely can understand and see how that could give you satisfaction in your day-to-day job. With so many years under your belt working in the field of talent acquisition, what is the one thing you wish more people knew about working for the Corps of Engineers?
This career choice should be on the table as option A. I wish more people understood that this should be on the table as option A. When you think about organizations, this organization is our profile is not high profile out there in the communities. For the most part, you know, the federal government as a whole, you know, folks aren't going like, yeah, and when I graduate, I'm going to go join the federal government. The Corps of Engineer is the work that we do is important, but we don't have a high profile. And because of that, I don't believe folks view us as option A. And so the challenge is to go out there and share with folks what we do, and then to lay out why it is option A for them. You don't walk out and go into a career and think to yourself, pension, that's something that I need to have on the table. You don't go out and think to yourself, work-life balance, that's something that I need to have on the table. One of the challenges for me and my team is to get out there and show folks, like, these are things that you need to consider as you're going out here and making a plan. And oh, by the way, here is our plan, here is your plan, and lay them out. And, you know, if you do have, and that's one of the things I'll do with candidates one-on-one. If you do have a plan and you cannot answer specific questions or the road splits, you know, what you're gonna do in that situation, I have an answer over here for that.
Yeah.
And so here you go. And so you just lay that out for folks, like, here is the plan, and we've covered down on everything. We've covered down on that work-life balance. We've covered down on you will have a pension. We've covered down on 401k plans. We've covered down on health insurance for you and your family, life insurance for you and your family. All those things that as you're going out there and you're getting ready to graduate, you don't think about student loan repayments, these things that come up and matter. And all of a sudden, you know, oh, you know, yeah, everything's great. My first year out here working. Oh, I met somebody. I got married. Oh, man, I need benefits. And then it's like, you know, that's when that stuff comes into play. And it's like, how do I show you that before you go out here? And it's just a matter of meeting folks where they are, engaging with them. I always tell my supervisors, if you want to win a war on talent, then you need to get in there as early as possible so that you could lay this out to young people before they go out there and start trying to make it on their own. And if we do that, if we get out in front of folks at an early enough pace, and early to me is like we need to be engaged in outreach at the high school level and definitely at college. If we do that outreach, if you win that at that stage, then you will have a sustainable recruiting program. Even if you don't get them as that initial, hey, I'm graduating and this is what I'm going to do, if you did a good job of laying out what it is that your organization is and what a person can achieve through joining your organization, which is super important. It's not just about us and our mission. It's also about the goals of those young folks and what they want to do. If you can show folks that they can achieve their goals by joining our organization and you do it early enough, then folks will look at us as option A.
Absolutely, Eric. And I know both of us have a little bit of a recruiting background, while mine is in communications for recruiting. But I'm sure we both know and recognize that consideration sets for professional careers are really established by middle school. So that really highlights the need to get out in front of young people early and often to put the Corps of Engineers as an option for them before those consideration sets are solidified.
Absolutely. It's almost kind of become a soapbox of mine as well, not even in the recruiting sector, but you know, you talk to a young kid and they want to be a firefighter or a lawyer or an astronaut, right? And you're like, there's so much else out there. I mean, even with a marine science degree, I have an undergrad and a graduate degree in marine science. I work for the Army Corps of Engineers. I mean, we work on the largest ecosystem restoration project in the world, and that is managed by the Army Corps of Engineers. And like you said, you know, it should be option A. People should consider it. I mean, 5 years ago, I didn't know you could be anything other than Army and engineer to be a part of the Army Corps. And here I am. So, and now I'm addicted and I'm never going to leave. So it's incredible to talk to people. And the whole reason we have this podcast is to showcase that, to show this broad diversity of what we have job-wise.
I want to know what it is that you are bringing to the table. I want to know your perspective, and that is important to me. I always tell folks that, you know, I hear folks talk about diversity of thought. It's a goal. It's not a thing. It is a goal, and it is something that you're constantly working on. And so that means bringing in, you know, folks from different parts of the country, folks from different socioeconomic groups, And definitely folks from different cultures, and you bring that all into the table. And I think that makes you better as an organization if you're doing that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we have to have these amazing projects that are supposed to be serving the people. We have to know what the people need, know their thoughts, have them there at the table from the very beginning so that that can all be incorporated. So thank you so much for bringing those people into the organization so they can represent the citizens of the United States that we're serving. And, you know, thank you so much for your time today, Eric, sharing your story with us. We really appreciate all that you do for the Army Corps of Engineers for our nation. Thank you for serving your country before you started with Army Corps of Engineers and continuing to serve it with the Corps. Thank you for being a part of our team. Again, today has been fantastic talking to you. So thank you so much.
And it's my pleasure. Absolutely appreciate the opportunity to come in and share some of my experience with the Army and with the Army Corps of Engineers.
Thank you, Eric.
Thank you, Eric.